This podcast is brought to you by the Endpoint Imperative, a podcast series from Intel that brings together IT experts and leaders to discuss the big tech challenges impacting businesses today. Download and subscribe to the Endpoint Imperative wherever you find your podcasts.
This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. The repeal of net neutrality has some Silicon Valley startups seeking workarounds to ensure a fair and open internet. We'll talk more about some of the new technology they're using in just a moment. But first, these tech news headlines. A Wall Street Journal analysis has uncovered fake comments criticizing a fiduciary rule on the U.S. Labor Department's website. The Wall Street Journal has now identified fake comments on five federal agency websites, including the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau and the Securities and Exchange Commission. Knowingly submitting false comments to the government is a felony, but it's unclear who's behind all of them. Agencies are required to take public comments into consideration, but aren't required to act a certain way because of them. Technical issues are forcing Nintendo to delay the release of its 64-gigabyte game cards for the Switch console. That's according to the Wall Street Journal. The new cards, which can hold more data and handle better graphics, were originally slated for release late next year, but will now be held until 2019. Nintendo still expects to sell more than 16 million units of the Switch machine by March of 2018, a year after the console's initial release. And Elon Musk is teasing a plan for a pickup truck, but isn't giving out many details. Tesla's chief posted on Twitter about a truck to rival Ford's F-Series. Responding to a tweet, he said Tesla's pickup would be about the same size or slightly bigger than the F-Series pickups, with a, quote, really game-changing feature. It's not the first time Musk has teased Tesla products online. The company is already facing some challenges rolling out its Model 3 sedan, though, and has already delayed its release to late in the first quarter of 2018. Up next, how tech startups are fighting back against the repeal of net neutrality. This is Tech News Briefing from the Wall Street Journal.
A new home in 4 years, college tuition in 9, retirement in 15. For life's most important events, there's a when. But in order to plan properly, you also need a how. iShares understands the importance of how, like how to start building for the things that matter most today, so by the time when arrives, you'll be ready. iShares by BlackRock. Inspired to build. One more thing, we are conducting a survey, and we would be grateful for your help in answering a few questions. It will take less than 10 minutes of your time, and your participation helps support this podcast. Please go to slate.com/survey2 to complete the short survey now. Thank you.
Welcome back. The repeal of net neutrality has many concerned about the future of a truly free and open internet. The rules repealed last month required service providers to treat all internet traffic equally in an attempt to prevent any one service provider from becoming too powerful. Now, without those protections, some tech startups are coming up with their own solutions to even the playing field. Joining me now to talk about the steps they're taking is Wall Street Journal reporter Doug McMillan, who joins us via Skype from San Francisco. Doug, let's start with how Silicon Valley is reacting to the repeal of net neutrality. What are some of the biggest fears among tech startups?
Well, I think the main feeling out here is concern that the power of a handful of large telecom companies is not only going to be preserved by the repeal of net neutrality rules, but it could actually be enhanced, and that the power of companies like Comcast and Verizon will go unchecked as these companies continue to be, you know, small number of players, essentially guarding the access to internet for millions and millions of people, especially in the United States. So right now, the feeling is just a concern, and I think also a feeling of helplessness that this is something that's been happening in Washington with very little that Silicon Valley can do to try to change the outcome.
And you found, as you write about in your piece for the Wall Street Journal, that many of them are starting to figure out some workarounds. One of them you talk about in the piece is called GoTenna, and that's a way to circumvent Wi-Fi and cell service. How exactly does that work?
Yeah, so GoTenna is a fun little startup that I think it launched on Kickstarter a few years ago. And they have these small portable antennas. It looks kind of like a little walkie-talkie that you can carry with you and tether to your smartphone, for basically the ability to message any of your friends who also have a GoTenna regardless of whether or not there's a Wi-Fi or cell signal. So it's popular to use at like a music festival, or I talked to one person who bought one to go hunting with his friends in an area of Illinois where there's little or no signal. So it's a good way to kind of circumvent the traditional mobile internet access that we, you know, we rely on when we're in a city, when we're in most places, but which we can't access or when we're off the grid. It's also kind of, you know, a peek inside one technology that could offer a long, you know, very long-term solution or workaround to traditional internet access, which is called a mesh network. A mesh network, instead of a traditional internet access where you get your internet directly from one cell tower or one source directly from the provider, you kind of share the internet among many different nodes or many different phones or PCs or tablets or sensors. So this mesh network is one of the solutions that Silicon Valley is planting the seeds to potentially, you know, be an alternative to the system that we have now.
And another one of those alternatives that you talk about in your piece is virtual private networks, or VPNs. How are those different from wireless mesh networks?
VPN is something that a lot of people, I think, probably are familiar with because corporations use them to let us access the secret files and secure files that we need to for work when we're working remotely. These can also be used to essentially become a firewall to the ISPs who provide a service. So if I'm using Comcast, and theoretically Comcast now without the rules of net neutrality in place could block or slow down my access to a video site like Netflix, if that happens, potentially I could use a VPN to scramble my signal, to essentially cloak what sites I'm looking at and what my browsing habits are, so Comcast can't figure out I'm watching that video on Netflix. Now, this has a lot of problems. One of the main ones is probably going to be speed. A lot of people are telling me that VPNs tend to slow down the load time of your computer. When you're watching a video on Netflix, that's when you need the speed fastest. So there's a lot of kinks in this, and it's not really a perfect solution by any means. But this is one alternative way that people are thinking about, you know, how can we potentially counter the effects of, you know, no net neutrality rules in place.
So they certainly have some drawbacks, as you mentioned, but with some work, could they likely present a real viable challenge to big broadband companies that might get too big?
Silicon Valley and the tech industry is a place where people like to think big and where people like to think about the long-term bets that they can make that will change the world in 5 or 10 or 20 years. So when they start looking at the world in terms of the market, the concentrated market power in a handful of telecom companies is a problem, and it is a threat to kind of our way of life. You know, this is the way that some people feel. Not everyone feels that way. What's the long-term solution that we can start to invest in? And I think that what I'm hearing from a lot of people, investors and entrepreneurs, is that they just need some kind of competition. So whether that's VPN, whether that's mesh network, maybe it's some other technology that hasn't been invented yet, no one's even thought of yet, creating some kind of competition that could help chip away at the market power here is a goal that a lot of people are starting to think is really worth fighting for and investing in.
Doug, what I find really interesting as well is that the U.S. is now taking some cues from other countries that have had to figure out ways to access the internet, those with restrictive governments, for example, that have limited free access. Which countries are tech startups looking toward as they troubleshoot their own solutions here in the U.S.?
Yeah, a couple examples of how VPNs have been used in those kinds of situations are, I think last year in Saudi Arabia was blocking access to Skype, the popular video calling service that essentially, you know, is competing with the local telecom carriers. So therefore, they decided to, you know, the telecom carriers that is state-owned in Saudi Arabia blocked access to all residents to Skype. And in response, many of those, maybe as many as a quarter to a third of residents accessed Skype through VPN providers that did what we were talking about. They basically masked the site that they were visiting. They were able to use Skype that way. I think Saudi Arabia has since lifted that ban on Skype. But this was kind of one test case of, you know, how you can use these workaround technologies to get around, to evade these sensors, in some cases are state-owned. In the U.S., it's less likely that this is going to come from the government, but now it's looking increasingly likely that the government is not going to do anything to stop companies like Verizon or Comcast if they decide to take the extreme step of censoring content or slowing down content.
I've been speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Doug McMillan. Thanks, Doug.
Thank you.
For more on this story, head to our website, WSJ.com. This has been the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Thanks for listening.
Make Tech News Briefing part of your flash briefing on the Amazon Echo. The Wall Street Journal. Listen ambitiously.